Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Dr. David Peter, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Chairman of the Department of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Peter.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you?
Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to have you in studio. Thanks for coming over and spending some time with us in studio this morning. It's a little bit different than walking across campus now that we've moved over to the International Center, but glad you made the trip over to spend some time with us.
Yes, but this is a beautiful studio here, so
thanks.
It looks great.
Thanks. It's nice being here in the front of the International Center. I get to greet everybody as they come in the morning, and you have the pleasure this morning, too, of getting to see everybody as they come in.
Right.
Well, Concordia Seminary, when we think of Concordia Seminary, quite often most of us think, okay, that's where guys go to study to become pastors. And then more recently, we've been learning about women going to study to become deaconesses. But there's another part to Concordia Seminary that we might not know a whole lot about. And that's for the rest of us, right?
Right. For the church. Our mission is to serve church and world. And, of course, we primarily do that by providing church workers who will go out into the church and world and lead as pastors, deaconesses, professors, teachers, and so forth, missionaries. But we also serve the church through our continuing education program and through our lay resourcing. And we have a lot of resources for lay people, including many that are available on the web at our website. And a lot of our courses are available to lay people to listen in on through iTunes U and so forth. But certainly also we provide live experiences for lay people through our Lay Bible Institute. And this is held at the seminary where people from the area here in St. Louis can come and participate and learn. Learn primarily about the Bible. That's why it's called the Lay Bible Institute, but also about the teachings that the Bible has. So doctrines and how those impact current events and our society today.
What are some of the things that that are covered in Summer Lay Bible Institute? How do you approach the topic, especially for someone who, you know, for laity, we may not necessarily have a background in Greek or Hebrew, may not have some of the courses or the foundation that seminary students would have. How do you approach the scriptures for in the Summer Lay Bible Institute?
Well, it would be at a level that would be understandable to lay people who are coming in without the understanding of those languages, without the aptitude to translate those languages. And so what we will do is make the translation for them. We will explain, you know, what the original languages are meaning here, but they don't have to understand or be able to do that translation themselves. We want, though, our pastoral students to be able to do that translation themselves for the lay people to be able to apt to teach the Word of God, to rightly handle the Word of God. But for our lay people who are coming in, we will kind of do the translation for them.
Do you cover anything in these courses that that might give you a glimpse of what a seminary course for an MDiv or, you know, a student studying for the pastoral office might be, or for deaconess? Is there a glimpse of what seminary classes might be like for them in this?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. In fact, sometimes some of the participants' appetites are whetted, and so they eventually come to the seminary, either as a pastoral student or a deaconess student. And what we want to do is to provide some rich theological educational opportunities, which will press people to grow in their faith. And so what we'll attempt to do here is to have it at a level that people of differing abilities will gain benefit from.
Sure.
And so there will be some people who maybe have a deeper depth of understanding of the scriptures who are coming to this. And so there will be something for them, and as well as for others who maybe are not as acquainted mm-hmm. with the scriptures. So we want to kind of vary the experience for the varied folks who will be participating. And I think that even those who are very, very solid scholars and students of the Word of God, and we have a lot of lay people who are very, very able theologians and Bible scholars. I've been impressed with them as I've taught the Bible to them, that they will come and be very much enriched and learn new and fresh insights from the Word of God.
And many of them are worldwide KFUO listeners. We have the best listeners in the world who study the scriptures, and I can think of a handful of those who call with comments and questions or email with comments and questions as we're studying the scriptures, and who present questions that I wouldn't necessarily think of, or bring up points that I may not necessarily think of as they're very good students of the Word.
I believe it, because there are many times when a layperson will ask me a question about the Bible that I don't know. As I'm leading a Bible study, and I've done a lot of preparation and had a lot of training for this, their questions are so insightful and so probing that I don't know, and I have to say, well, I'll get back with you on that.
Let me do some research.
Right.
Now, the Lay Bible Institute, the courses are usually a one-day course, is that correct?
Well, we have varied formats for them. This one that's coming up in August, on August 9th, is a one-day kind of intensive, if you would say. It begins at 9 o'clock and ends at 3 o'clock. So you can kind of come and just devote that day to digging deep into the Word of God. Normally, though, our lay Bible institutes are weekly, usually 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And we have one in the fall, I believe one in the winter, and then also in the spring. So the summer one, though, is typically a one-day intensive.
So a variety of formats then.
Right.
Very nice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do you approach, how do you begin? This is a one-day class, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we'll get to details about this class and the subject here in just a little bit. But how do you begin? Where do you begin with something, the text on the first hour of class? What's the first thing that you do?
Usually, when it's a study of a biblical book, as this is, the first thing to do is to familiarize them with the historical context, with the cultural context of the original recipients of the book, why it was written, what is the occasion of its writing, the author, what might be the reasons why this author wrote this book, and then how do we interpret it, to provide kind of the groundwork, if you will, or the lens through which one can read and understand this particular book of the Bible. And for any book of the Bible, that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. For the one in which we'll be considering, the book of Revelation, it's especially important because there are so many varied interpretations out there that go everywhere. And most of them are going in the wrong direction, too. So we want to help them to get a sense of how do you read this? Mm-hmm. What is the lens through which you will read this in order to understand and perceive what God intended you to?
So you look at the principles of interpretation.
Right.
There's a word for that, isn't there?
Yes, a big word, I think someone by the name of Herman invented it. No, hermeneutics is the term for that, the art of interpreting the scriptures.
So you spend some time looking at principles. How do you interpret the scriptures? How do you understand it in context? As you said, who was the what was happening at the time that it was written? The audience, those types of things.
Right. Because, for example, with the book of Revelation, so many people today go to the book of Revelation, or they listen to these preachers on TV or the radio, and immediately where they go to is the contemporary day. So they read current events in the book of Revelation. So when it's speaking of Babylon, they think, oh, that must be Iraq, okay, because Babylon wasn't located in Iraq, and everything that's happening in Iraq right now. And when it says Jerusalem, oh, well, the conflict that we see currently in Jerusalem must be reflected here in the book of Revelation, okay? And that is a fallacious approach to this, because what is necessary is, first of all, to understand what did it mean to the original recipients of the book, to those to whom John sent this, to those to whom Jesus sent this. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. So what is the condition of those churches in Asia? What are the circumstances that they're facing? What is the benefit of this to them? Why is this written for their sake? And when we better understand what the situation is for them, then we can draw principles for our life situation that would be appropriate and not fanciful.
The Summer Lay Bible Institute, as you mentioned, you're covering the topic, studying the book of Revelation. The title, Decoding the Apocalypse, is the name. We're going to talk more about that after our break. Coming up Saturday, August 9th, is that correct?
Right.
At Concordia Seminary, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll talk more about it when we come back from this break. We'll give more details and maybe whet your appetite a little bit more about what you'll study in the book of Revelation. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment that changed my life.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO. Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with Dr. David Peter, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Chairman of the Department of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're discussing the upcoming Summer Lay Bible Institute, Decoding the Apocalypse, a study of the Book of Revelation on Saturday, August 9th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Before we went to break, Doctor, we were talking about the principles of interpretation, how we approach the scriptures, and you mentioned that there are some approaches to Revelation that, that are just confusing and poor interpretations, taking reading Revelation and imposing current events on the book of Revelation. Where does that put us? Where does that leave us when we do that?
Well, where it leaves us is oftentimes with the historic understanding of the book of Revelation, which is not the way in which most of these popularizers of the book of Revelation are going. They're following an approach that really has developed only in the last couple of hundred years. It's what we call dispensational premillennialism. But the approach that we follow in the Lutheran Church that is commended to us by the Lutheran Confessions is a historical one. It's it's the one that the Church down through the ages has used to interpret the book of Revelation. And essentially, that approach says that the book of Revelation is written for all ages of the Church period here. That it's not just written for as they used to say, the 20th century, or currently the 21st century. It was written for Christians from the first century until Christ comes again. And in fact, the book of Revelation depicts not just the second coming of Christ. That is a misunderstanding, that it's just about the second coming of Christ, or even primarily about the second coming of Christ. It is about that, but it's also about his first coming and what he is doing in and through his church now, in what we call the church age, and then what will happen when he comes again and establishes the new heaven and the new earth. So it really covers the span of church history and helps us to understand our place in that history, our place in that story, and it's that's the historical view of the book of Revelation, the one that the Church has followed for centuries.
Do you think because it covers an audience, addresses an audience for such a large span of time, that that's why it's so misunderstood and confusing in our time? Because we want to narrow it down to a very specific time.
Yeah. It is, well, what is it that Frontier Airlines uses as their advertisement, a whole different animal? The book of Revelation is a whole different animal, and anybody who's tried to read it without having some understanding of it beforehand immediately discovers that it's very different from the Gospels, very different from the Epistles, very different from historical writings like the book of Acts. It's a whole different animal, and so there are many reasons why it's difficult to understand and interpret. One of the reasons is because of the span of time that it depicts from first coming of Christ to the second coming. It's also challenging because it does that essentially seven times. There are seven visions in the book of Revelation, and each one essentially begins with the first coming of Christ, moves through the church age, and concludes with the second coming of Christ, and then possibly even enters into what follows the second coming, the new heavens and the new earth. And so it cycles through that seven times, and that's just something we're not used to. We're not used to that kind of cyclical way of reading and interpreting really any book of the Bible. But it is characteristic of the book of Revelation, and so we need to understand that that's the case.
The name of this, Decoding the Apocalypse, is kind of intriguing because it draws you in, because it sounds like some of those other you know, some of the movies and the whole Hollywood approach to this.
Da Vinci Code,
right? Decoding the Apocalypse. But it really is looking at what was the original title of the book of Revelation?
Well, the original title in the Greek is Apocalypsis. Okay, and that means the it's translated as revelation, and the word literally means unveiling, okay? Revealing, the veil, taking the veil away. And that's the purpose of the book of Revelation, is to unveil for us the way things really are, to see them from God's perspective, to see them from the spiritual perspective, that things aren't as they seem as you look out on society and you think, well, in the case of the original recipients, that the Roman emperor was the all-powerful king of the earth. That's the way things looks to the the natural eye. But we unveil true reality and we see that the true king, not only of this world, but of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the Lamb who sits on the throne, is Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, the one who was executed. And so the word apocalypse literally means unveiling. I know that it's now has the association more with utter destruction and kind of the end of the world as we know it.
It's a whole genre in Hollywood,
well,
right?
Right. Yeah, zombie apocalypse and ape apocalypse and all that and so forth now with these movies.
So will you be making a movie after the Bible study, after the Bible Institute?
Well, if there's enough money in it,
okay.
I guess. And if I can get Hollywood on board, which I doubt that very much. So, but yeah, that's the original and meaning. And so when we say decoding the apocalypse, we're really saying decoding this writing that God intends for us to be able to see afresh his work and his plan in history and in the world. If I might also say one other thing, there's another key there that we see immediately in the title of Apocalypse, and that is that this falls in what we call apocalyptic literature. And this was a whole distinct genre. Revelation is not unique in that regard, in that there's other apocalyptic literature actually within the Bible itself. The book of Daniel is highly apocalyptic in many of the chapters. Some of Ezekiel is. In the New Testament, there are certain chapters like Mark 13, Matthew 24, and so forth that are apocalyptic in nature. And what is most characteristic about apocalyptic literature is that it is couched in symbols, okay? It is highly symbolic in its composition. And thus, in order to interpret it, you have to translate those symbols, or as I say, you have to decode the
symbols.
So
do you need a decoder ring for these symbols?
Well, you do need a key.
Uh-huh.
That's what is essential here. What is the key to the code? Like any other code, you have to have the key to it. And for some, that might be a decoder ring. But in the case of the book of Revelation, the key is not current events. It's not CNN. It's not the news accounts of what's happening in Israel and Palestine today. The key is the scripture itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make it so hard trying to wrestle out what these codes mean. God makes it so easy because he gives us 65 books ahead of this one, which provide us with the key to the code. And so the way that you understand it is to recognize how have these symbols been used previously in the previous 65 books of the Bible. And that's where you go to get the code.
Some of that symbolic language is are numbers, correct?
Right.
Numbers are used throughout Revelation in very symbolic ways.
Exactly. Sure.
And
sure.
Give us a... just a little sample of what we might learn in the course.
Okay, yeah. Well, a classic example here would be what people call the millennium. And this is in Revelation chapter 20, where it speaks of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Well, the numbers in the book of Revelation are always symbolic, and so there's no reason why this should be an exception that suddenly this becomes a literal 1,000 years. What you have then with the 1,000 years is 10 to the third power, 10 times 10 times 10. And 10 is the number of completedness. Okay, we count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then we start over again. 10, 1, 11, 10, 2. So base 10, and they operated with a base 10 system as well. 10 is the number of completedness. And 10 to the third power, 3 is the number that is associated with God, the divine number, the Trinity, and so forth. And so what 1,000 means, you look for what the meaning is. 1,000 means the divinely completed time that God has appointed, okay? And in this case, it would be the divinely completed time of Christ's reign from his first to second coming. A lot of people don't think Jesus is reigning right now. They're waiting for his reign when he comes again. But the one of the prominent messages of the book of Revelation is that Jesus is reigning now. The Lamb is on the throne now. And, you know, from the time of his ascension, when he was seated at the right hand of the Father, that is when he reigns the universe. So that's an example that can be used. Another example in terms of the numbers would be 144,000. Okay, we find this in the book in chapter 7, and there are 144,000 saints before the throne. The Jehovah's Witnesses take that literally, saying that it's only 144,000 that actually make it to heaven.
Move over. I want my spot.
Yeah, right. But what we see here is, just as I described before, 1,000, okay, is divinely completed, and then that's multiplied by 144. Well, what is 144? 12 times 12. And 12 is the Old Testament, represents the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel. 12, the other 12 represents the New Testament, the apostles. Church is built on that. So this would be 12 times 12, Old Testament, New Testament, and times 1,000, the divinely completed church of God of all ages. That's really what it's saying there.
A dozen dozens.
Right.
12 times 12, 144.
Right.
Very good. That, well, intriguing. I think this getting into the book of Revelation is always intriguing, but to get to study it with seminary professors who have studied it certainly more in depth than most of us have, so that we can learn these things, learn how to understand the scriptures, especially this apocalyptic language, so that when we're out in the rest of the world and we're faced with these false teachings about scripture, these misinterpretations, we can confront them with the truth.
Right, right.
We can address it with truth, and we can know the truth and not be deceived.
Right, right. And even more than that, the book of Revelation is a powerful book. It's not just that we get it right, that we get it, you know, interpret and understand it right. But when we do, we will find such comfort in it. We will find such encouragement. Our faith will be so strengthened in the one who truly rules, who is the King of Kings, who does have history in the palm of his hand under control. And we will find great comfort and encouragement in reading the book of Revelation. That's a promise it gives, that there will be blessing to those who read it and who read it correctly and appropriately.
Very good. And you can be a part of that Summer Lay Bible Institute, Decoding the Apocalypse, Study of the Book of Revelation, Saturday, August 9th at from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Dr. Peter, how can they find out more? How can they register?
Sure. Just go to the seminary website, which is www.csl.edu. C for Concordia, SL for St. Louis, .edu.
Very good. You can check it out there and register online, or you can make a phone call and call and register. The cost, only $20 per person.
What a deal.
Excellent.
What a bargain.
Excellent. You want to make sure that you register before July 31st. The registration deadline is July 31st, so make sure you do that right away. And is there a phone number that they can call?
Sure. They can call the seminary main number, which is 314-505 7000, and then they'll direct you to the continuing education office.
Very good. Very good. We'll check it out. And thanks so much for being here today, Dr. David Peter from Concordia Seminary.
My delight, Andy. Thank you.
God's blessings on all your summer studies and this summer Lay Bible Institute coming up. Coming up next, we've got our study of the daily lectionary. Hope you can join us for that as we study with the Reverend Kirk Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoota, Illinois today. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.